That's Twyla Paris and Love's Been Following You. Good song. 10.5 minutes past the hour now on a Monday morning here along the Broken Road. And we're joined by Dr. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, a biochemist, the only resident biochemist we have here at Broken Road. And so we delight in talking to Don about things scientific. And Don, how are you doing this Monday?
Well, I'm doing well. Okay. I'm a little tired this morning. We had a late night, as we usually do now on Sunday evenings. We do part of a program in one of the prisons here in Texas. It's called Malachi Dads, where we go into the prison, and I guess there's probably about 30 or so inmates that are part of the program, but the main thrust or the main goal of the program is to get the fathers reunited with their kids and the kids reunited with their fathers. All the while, of course, teaching Christianity and godly behavior and discipling, the men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a good program, but it gets me back pretty late on Sunday night.
Does it include actual visitation from the kids with their fathers?
Yes, we have one. We have one planned for October, and so the kids will come in for about a half a day and spend some time with their dads and get kind of reunited. Now, some families are bringing the kids already, to the prison to see their father. But not all of them, and part of the difficulty in all this is, they have broken relationships, of course, with their children, and some of them don't even know where their children are. So we encourage them to write to whomever, but mainly to start communication with their children, and writing letters to them, and if the children respond, that's great. If the children don't respond, just keep writing, and we'll agree with them in prayer that God's going to open that door. And we've seen results already. This was our seventh week doing this, and we've seen kids reunited already with their dads, and their dads reunited with their kids.
Now, is this a national ministry, or is this just localized to where you are there in Texas?
Well, it's starting to be a national ministry. It actually came out of Angola prison in Louisiana, and the program wound up transforming that prison. Angola was one of the highest crime, most violent prisons in the United States, and through this program and through the inmates discipling other inmates, it is one of the most gentle prisons, if you will, and godly prisons. The program has transformed the prison.
The name of the program again is
Malachi Dads.
The Malachi Dads. Okay.
Are you associated with the Heart of Texas Foundation?
I am not.
Okay. Yeah. It's they're involved as well. It looked like a fundraiser. But, wow. Where did the name come from?
Well, of course, you've got the scripture in Malachi of, the Spirit of God will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. Mm-hmm. That's, where Malachi came from. It's a program. It's actually now being sponsored by the National Awanas program.
Mm-hmm. I see that online as well. The Awana Lifeline program. I'm not familiar with Awana either.
It's a program to teach kids scripture. We have it going in our church. It's a great program, and they make it fun for kids, and of course they have to memorize a memory verse every Sunday, every time they get together, or Wednesday, whenever the program is at that particular church. But it's to get the kids familiar with scripture and familiar with the Bible. And it's kind of a lifelong, you know, thing. Once they start, it's not that the program's lifelong for the children.
Gee, what if we got an organization together that brought scientists and the Bible together?
Yeah. That's
just trying to create a transition here, you know.
Good segue. Nice job.
All right.
Yeah. Article at the Institute of Creation Research website. It's entitled Original Tissue Fossils Creation's Silent Advocates. It's a post by Brian Thomas. And there's a little history here, and it has to do with something called deep time. Don, what is deep time? Can you define it for us?
Well, it's the concept that not only the Earth, creation, they wouldn't call it creation, but all of the universe was formed over millions and millions, if not billions, of years. And if you go out, you know, into space, then the oldest astronomical galaxies and stars are 3.8 billion years old, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But in here on Earth, it started with the concept that the geology that we see was a result of long age and
geologic ages, they would say, meaning tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of years.
Millions of years, mm-hmm. millions of years. Mm-hmm. And the concept first started in 1788 with a fellow Scottish fellow by the name of James Hutton. And he looked at the geology around him, and he said, oh, I think this formed slowly. I'm going to use what we see today and just push it back into time. So he was, you know, looking like a little stream making deposits on or cutting into riverbeds and stuff, and going back and say, well, that's how this geology that we see around us, you know, formed.
And I'm looking at this quote from him, and it seems to me that this very well could have resulted, this whole notion of deep time could have resulted because of an inadequacy in science back in those times. His quote was, he published a paper called The Theory of the Earth in 1788, and a quote from that, the result, therefore, of our present inquiry is that we find no vestige of a beginning, no prospect of an end, unquote. So he kind of concluded, or at least gave the impression, that there was no discernible beginning to the universe. Now, he obviously ruled out Genesis, if he even knew what Genesis had to say. And so they questioned, did this result come from the data or from a preferred way to interpret those data? And the other thing that strikes me about this is the year 1788. Now we're talking about the Age of Enlightenment, mm-hmm. when a lot of things happened to discourage any idea that the Bible could be fact.
Right. There was certainly a push. And Charles Lyell, the other Scottish lawyer, Charles Lyell, he borrowed from James Hutton this concept of deep time, and he wrote a book called Principles of Geology. So here's a lawyer writing a book called Principles of Geology, mm-hmm. and it's basically full of guesses. This is what I think how the Earth, you know, was formed, but mm-hmm. it was so popular that it influenced the rest of geology, the rest of the geologists coming along, even unto the, you know, today. And so he kind of started the concept, but his idea was, you know, let's crush this idea of Christianity and Moses and creation out of the minds of men, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he definitely had an agenda, and of course his agenda was to get rid of Genesis and get rid of the notion, the primitive notion of the Mosaic system, creation, the flood, and all that other stuff, that none of that really happened, because if you just look at the rocks, you can obviously see that the layers were laid down over millions and millions of years. Mm-hmm. So, but that, interestingly enough, that statement, you know, alone, if you make a statement like that, you cannot explain the fossils that are buried in multiple layers, not only just a single layer, but multiple layers within the rock. Because a dead animal is going to decay, and you're going to be left with nothing over a period of time if indeed the layers were laid down over multiple layers. So he had in his system a contradiction, which, of course, no one cared to point that out.
Well, I imagine at the time there weren't that many accomplished geologists. It must have been a science in its infancy, and it was as if there were no competing ideas with it. Nobody cared. They just accepted it because it was the first.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting. He wasn't a scientist. He was a lawyer. And so, you know, of course, he's laying down his principles based on hopefully somewhat logical things. But, you know, the whole basis is, well, let's look at the processes around us today and let's extrapolate that back into time. That is a problem if there's a catastrophe involved. And, of course, we know what that catastrophe was. It was the global flood.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ignore the global flood and how the Earth was dramatically transformed during the flood, you misinterpret all the geological features around the Earth. I mean, not just some. You misinterpret all of them because the global flood affected everything that we see in geology today.
Well, it looks to me like there's lots of science being ignored here, and that's hard to fathom because you'd think if a scientist got wind of something new, even if it was something very old, the new idea that, hey, the Earth is young, that he would jump on it and do some real experimentation, some earnest, honest-to-goodness research, maybe looking at the same evidence that a young Earth creationist had seen, and then deal with the evidence. This post seems to be in response to kind of an off-the-cuff criticism when they present some evidence of soft tissue in a fossil that should not be there if it's hundreds of thousands or millions of years old, and yet it is there. Somebody responded by saying, oh, it couldn't be soft tissue. It's got to be mineralized.
Right. It's got to be mineralized. It's got to be mineralized soft tissue.
Yeah.
Now, mineralized soft tissue.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that can't come from a scientific observation.
Right. You do have, of course, most of the fossils are mineralized. They're completely mineralized. But there's been other class of fossils that have soft tissue in them. And interestingly enough, this was relatively new to me, that the soft tissue has been observed for a long time. For example, the first recorded evidence of soft tissue was by Mary Anning in approximately 1823, when she found a dinosaur and found that the dinosaur had what appeared to be soft tissue and not functional tissue, of course, but soft tissue, a fossilized eye that the lens, completely worked. So, if it was mineralized, it wouldn't have, of course, it would be opaque and not completely
now,
clear.
By mineralized, we mean that the original tissue would have been replaced molecule by molecule by a mineral of some kind.
Yeah, by silicone, silica, dioxide, sand, basically,
would not retain then its original characteristics.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be clear. So, they didn't have the biochemical techniques that we have today for identifying proteins and connective tissue and even the microscopy that we have today that we can identify cells in these soft tissues, as, Mike Armitage did with his Triceratops horn.
Yeah, we're just thinking of Mike. We talked to him a few months ago, and I wonder how he's doing. But he found soft tissue in that Triceratops horn.
He did. I mean, not only did he find remnants of blood vessels and blood cells, but he also found, what looked like completely intact, bone cells.
Mm-hmm.
Things have progressed in the field, quite a bit. But these discoveries, are not new. And the geologist and biologist and everybody, else involved, scientifically keep rejecting it and keep rejecting the obvious evidence that's there. That's pretty much the point of the article. And this, this goes back because I think it, why do they reject it, I guess, is the main thing. Why is there such an uproar? And it goes back to, Charles Lyell's commitment to get rid of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. To stamp out Mosaic thinking, yeah.
And to get rid of God, from society.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, not a very good reason for doing science. I'm going to do science to get rid of something that's obviously there.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin himself relied heavily on the principles of geology and in Charles Lyell's, book. In coming up with his theory of evolution.
Well, that was just, 1839, evolution. 1840, only maybe 50 years after this book had been published by Charles Lyell.
Right. We attribute, of course, evolution to the evolutionary concept to Charles Darwin. But without Lyell's, discussion or work in the principle of geology, Charles Darwin wouldn't have the concept of deep time that went into, was absolutely a part of, evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can see a series of folks that are suggesting and prompting and the scientific community ultimately adapting the concepts that were presented, during this time period. And, now we take it, literally on faith that evolution has been proven.
Hmm.
But the discoveries that we see and continue to to make here, especially with regard to the soft tissue in various types of dinosaurs that are found, and now we have the techniques where we're finding, okay, well, this is protein, this is DNA. We've got intact DNA. How can you explain that? DNA being a very large molecule breaks apart really easily, but yet we've got DNA. We've got chitin, if it's happens to be a crustacean, the shell of the material of the animals made of a protein called chitin.
Mm-hmm.
And we can measure all that, and we can document it, and we can publish it, and we can be excommunicated from our institutions if we make any mention that not only is this tissue real, but make any type of connection that, folks, maybe the Earth is younger than we thought, or at least this creature that we've, discovered this material in is younger than we thought, and maybe we should take another look.
This is a huge frustration for me. How is it that a young Earth creationist kind of scientist can't sit down with a proponent of deep time, look at the same piece of goo and come to the same conclusion that it's either young or old? I mean, what prevents the deep earthers or the deep time folks from sitting down and looking at some of the soft tissue and then commenting on the science rather than just making wisecracks.
You would think that if you're going to be honest and want to have an honest discussion, then that would certainly, you know, happen. But it doesn't. It's almost as if, you know, the enemy of our soul has blinded the minds of these. Some of these are very smart people. I mean, you know, they're not dummies. I mean, they're very smart people, and has blinded the minds of them because that's what they want to accept. Mm-hmm. And so no longer do they have an open mind about the topics. And it doesn't matter what field you're talking about when it comes to this issue of either deep time, anything regarding evolution. And I don't care if it's, you know, biological evolution, cellular evolution, or, you know, any, you know, part of the spectrum in between. You know, folks are literally blinded. It's almost as if we're in the end times.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as if an organization like maybe Creation Moments should talk with somebody like Mike Armitage and get his research and his notes and his pictures and his evidence, his data, and go present it in a very public way to someone who believes that it's all nonsense and have them comment on the science. I mean, to single out one institution or one laboratory or one scientist, I'm not sure how that's done, and present this and ask for a scientific reading on what Mike has found.
Wasn't his material presented at a conference?
Yeah, and
it was published.
It was published
in a scientific journal, mm-hmm. and yeah. It was accepted in a scientific journal. And yet, in spite of it being accepted and published and critically reviewed, he, you know, lost his job at Cal State Northridge, mm-hmm. Because he put a creation twist to it.
Mm-hmm. And in truth, we don't know the whole story there, but that certainly had to be part of it. He was seen as a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
He did not conform to the establishment thinking, and to think that a lawyer seemed to have kicked this thing off.
Hmm. Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is not. I mean, I'm not saying this is the same thing, but maybe there is a unified theory of those people who have a preconceived notion about the way things should be, and it, you know, will totally ignore the way things are and the way things, you know, and the way that practical experience teaches us that they can be. And, you know, Glorioski, I'm talking about politics.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are liberals out there and progressives who absolutely totally believe that Marx was right. The only problem, the only difficulty with the Soviet Union falling in 70 years is that they just didn't have smart enough people. And we're smart enough now, so we can do it. Mm-hmm. We know how to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people can put their heads in the sands or other dark places and, you know, just ignore everything before them. That baffles me. It's always just, you know, it makes me scratch my head and say, where are you coming from? What is the deal? I don't get it. And it's way beyond listening to reason. Reason and logic have no impact on these people. I mean, they're, you know, everything that every counterpoint, every attempt to present any kind of evidence that suggests anything that they don't believe in is just ignored.
And by the way, we'll have a link to this article with the podcast when we get it mounted on our website a little bit later this morning. It'll be up at brokenroadradio.com. Presumably, if you're listening, you're listening there. Although you could be a live 365 listener as well and may not know about the website. But the website is brokenroadradio.com. At the top of the homepage, there's a tab that says podcasts. And if you hover over that, you'll see a list of people from whom podcasts are available on the station, one of them being Dr. Don Clark. If you click on that, you'll see the most recent first and the whole almost 3 years now of conversations with Don trailing behind it. You can pick one, download it, and listen to it at your convenience, or listen to it right there on the site. And I would encourage you to do that. This is particularly interesting, and an easy. This is not scientific jargon in this article, by the way. This is just a common everyday language that you can understand, and I think they make the point very well. Don, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's a well-written article. It's certainly well-documented with plenty of references. Institute of Creation Research does an excellent job. They write scientific articles. Of course, they can't get them published in any scientific journal, but they have plenty available on their website, and they are really their whole emphasis is creation science. They have a Creation Science Institute. They have an institute where you can go to school in creation science. Get a degree in creation science. The whole thrust is to put the emphasis back on God and put the emphasis on, hey, look, God, there's plenty of evidence out there that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, 6,000 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. Well, that's their thrust, and they've got a lot of scientists on staff from a large number of fields. Geology, of course, is one of them, but they have biochemists as well. So very worthwhile, site to visit.
Yeah, the website, it's the Institution of Creation Research. So the website is icr.org. And it's not one of those where you get hit with all kinds of ads and garbage. It's a very well-put-together website. And I would invite you, particularly if you're an old Earth proponent, or maybe you're acquainted with a scientist, or you are a scientist that firmly holds to the idea of deep time. Post something on our website and deal with this with the science. Not innuendos, not off-the-cuff criticisms, but deal with the science and tell us where we're wrong here on this, or where the Institute of Creation Research is going astray. And it would be fun to have a little dialogue, even if it was not on the air live, but in the chat window. I would love to do that. And or you can email us here at the station and say, well, I'd like to make our case. And let us know. We'll put you on the air and we'll talk about it. So those are all possibilities. The Institute of Creation Research, icr.org. And once again, there'll be a link to this particular article posted along with the podcast later this morning. Don, any other thoughts on deep time?
Well, the more we delve into the realities of, it's almost like God is revealing, things as we go along here that, deep time just doesn't fit the model for what we actually see around us. Mm-hmm. And, I'm glad to see that there are, good researchers out there that are exposing the truth. And that we keep getting more and more evidence, for example, for the global flood and for the accuracy of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead, Dave. Do you have something?
Well, I was just reflecting again on I think what I said off the air. I just started reading a book called Killing Jesus, and it's, I won't go into it in the topic.
Bill O'Reilly's book, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a Bill O'Reilly book. But it's one of the first books I've ever read where the crucifixion story, the nativity story, the birth of Christ, is interwoven into the tapestry that is history of the time, and I've never read that before.
And that tends to make it real to you, doesn't it?
Very real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, and it's not some guy that's just making up stuff whole cloth. Mm-hmm. He's relying on research. He has actual credible research writers, secular and Christian writers of the time, that their ideas seem to flow together.
And let me say this, because this really pertains to Broken Road Radio and our basic reason for being here. And a lot of this stems from my own personal conviction that while a rational approach to the universe can't get you into heaven, I mean, you need to submit to Jesus for that, but it can get you interested in who he was and what he accomplished as the Son of God. And there's so much evidence around you every day, and the Apostle Paul wrote about it. You see the proof of it all around you if you look at it in a thoroughly honest way. You've got to come to the conclusion that there cannot be any other source for this than a supreme being, than God. And when scientists rule that out to begin with and will not consider it because it's outside the box that they work in, because we can't see, feel, hear, or touch him with our senses, therefore it should be discounted, that is not rational. That is irrational, and it's very unscientific. And it's just ironic that science can be so unscientific.
That's unfortunate, mm-hmm. because the view that they would certainly like to portray is that we're just commenting, we're just observing the facts. Mm-hmm. Like in many things, whether you're talking about politics or whether you're talking about science, one's worldview influences your conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing here. And this article does a nice job of pointing that out in not an accusatory way, but this is what Charles Lyell believed.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his goal, if you will. Which helped to promote the idea of deep time, and others obviously took mm-hmm. that concept and ran with it. Of course, Charles Darwin being one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if I've ever told you guys about the course that I took when I was in grad school. It was about the history of science. And the thing that stuck with me most was the history of science tends to be that there are theories that are wrongheaded or don't really explain all the phenomena. And the body of scientists believe it and believe it and believe it, expand on it, build on it, make it larger, make it even more weighty. And then somebody comes along and pokes a hole in the bottom of it, and all the air escapes and everything goes away. And within a year, within a very short time, everybody believes in the new theory. Mm-hmm. That kind of progress, or that kind of step by step form, seems to take place over and over and over again through the history of science.
And truth be told, the same thing happens in theology. I'll have you know.
Really?
Same thing. When an idea gains massive support, until there's at some point in history evidence that it's not true. And they go back to square one. I think maybe that's where we all ought to head, is back to square one. And that's the Gospels. You start there and work up. I think so. Don, thanks so much for joining us again. This you're always a delight to have, and we appreciate your time and your expertise. So thanks so much.
Well, you're quite welcome, and it's always a lot of fun to talk about these topics.
We're going to catch you next Monday. Are you available?
I am available next Monday.
Okay.
Yes.
Outstanding.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, wait a second.
You're not.
I'm not.
I guess Don is just you and I.
Oh, I suppose.
I don't know how we're going to do that.
We need somebody controlling the dials, though, and asking
pushing
the
buttons.
Questions.
Pushing buttons and watching the clock
the phone calls.
Is my job. No, we're going on vacation next week, and so there will be music 24 hours a day, but we'll be in automated mode. So no morning show, and so Don will meet up with you the following Monday next, okay?
Well, yes, I think I'll be in town.
That'd be the 9th, 10th, 11th, 19th, I guess.
Well, you got grapes to take care of.
That's true.
I do have grapes. I'm going to we're going to pick the white this week.
All right.
Okay, well.
So, need to start processing.
Keep us posted. That's an interesting process all in itself. Vigneron, again, is the word?
Vigneron, yes.
Vigneron, okay.
Mm-hmm. Vintner is the winemaker.
Yeah, well, you're both. You kind of wear both hats then, don't
that's
you?
That's it.
Dr. Don Clark, biochemist, member of the board of CreationMoments.com. I want to recommend, too, that you visit the Creation Moments website. That's CreationMoments.com, and you can link to it from our site at Broken Road Radio. Don, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good.
See you, Don.
All righty. So long.